He may be bad at sports, but he loves talking about them. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Bring a $10 million check so I can spread a little cheer. Fly a couple lives, eat a little.
Welcome to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Ludacrismas, and it kind of feels like ludicrismas outside right now with the snow that happened just this past weekend, or Wednesday, I guess, this past week, as well as the cold temperatures that have come in. They were supposed to subside for this weekend. A lot going on in the world of sports around the valley coming up this weekend, with homecoming, of course, for Montana State as they take on Sacramento State. That should be a really, really interesting game. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. Of course, the big football game for the week here in the valley, as some of the other smaller schools, Class B and Class C, are on the road. The AA takes over the valley with Bozeman High playing Belgrade Panthers for the very first time in AA, their very first matchup, a new rivalry that's starting. We'll talk about that here in a little bit, and what can Belgrade do to hopefully try to stop Bozeman on their part, and what can Bozeman do, of course, to take down Belgrade. But first, I was off last week. I apologize for that. The wife headed east to see family and probably talked terribly about me to her family and everything else because I wasn't around. Then she traveled over to St. Louis for a conference, and the conference, while she was there, unfortunately, St. Louis was in the baseball playoffs. They ended up beating Atlanta, and we'll talk about that here in a second, but they weren't around when she was there, so she couldn't catch a game or anything. I was hoping she could be able to catch a game and kind of give us an idea of what a playoff game in baseball was like, but she was really busy and they weren't playing then. They did come back, though. St. Louis wrapped up the season, or the first playoff round in the season for Atlanta, shockingly last night, when scoring 10 runs in the first inning, then cruising to a 13-1 victory. You never see 10 runs in the very first inning, especially when you've got two aces going on the mound. Cards will now take on the Washington Nationals after the Nats took out the top-seeded and 106-game winning Los Angeles Dodgers 7-3 in 10 innings last night. Clayton Kershaw came on to the game in the sixth inning, gave up two home runs on back-to-back pitches for the first time in his career. Kershaw is one of the best pitchers in the bigs. I think he still is. He's getting up there in age, and he's starting to, his fastball isn't as fast, his slider isn't as slidey. But he really struggled when it comes to the postseason. He always has in his career. It's been his big knock on his entire resume. My guess is the Dodgers might look at firing their coach and trying to go a different way. And I think they do need to look at possibly trading Kershaw, because he's still worth a lot out there on the market. If you can get some decent bullpen pitching and everything else. Why they brought him in the sixth inning? They brought him in the sixth. He struck out the one batter that he faced, or they popped up. Then they brought him back in the seventh, and that's when he gave up back-to-back pitched home runs, and that was pretty much the end of it. So, unfortunately for them, that is the way that that went, but they will move on. And then tonight, of course, the phone's ringing over. The Houston Astros will be fighting for their playoff lives as well, hoping to extend it and go play the Yankees. That game is tonight to wrap up that series. And then Houston has a ton going on this weekend. If Houston can win that, they play the Yankees at home. The Houston Open is there. All sorts of stuff coming up. But we'll move on to NFL now. The Oakland Raiders, Vontaze Perfect, appeal for his season-long ban for helmet-to-helmet hit against Colts Jack Doyle has been denied. Perfect was ejected in the second quarter of the Raiders' Week 4 31-24 win late last month. He was initially flagged for hitting Doyle in the head across the middle, but after officials conferred, or whatever you want to say, it convened in the middle of the field, Perfect was thrown out of the game. The league said that Perfect will not be paid during the suspension, which covers the postseason as well. I don't know if the Raiders will make the postseason, but it could. The league cited that his repeated violations of unnecessary roughness rules in handing out the longest suspension ever for an on-field incident. According to ESPN stats and information, the suspension will cost Perfect more than $1.1 million in salary and per-game active roster bonuses. A perfect example of what we call karma catching up to you. Football is a violent sport. We all know that. But it can be played the right way and not that violently. He has proven he can't do that time and time again. My guess is I don't think you're going to see him on the football field again. I don't think anybody's going to take that chance to try to bring him in and try to change him at all. But that's just me, so we'll have to see what happens there. Another NFL news, San Francisco 49ers quarterback Richard Sherman said Wednesday that he will apologize to Baker Mayfield for wrongly saying the Cleveland Browns quarterback had refused to shake his hand. He made a huge deal about this after the game. Called him soft, called him weak, said that you haven't done anything in this league. How dare you not shake my hand? Well, it turns out video evidence came back and showed that he did shake his hand. But Richard Sherman still wouldn't back down on that. He doubled down or tripled down about three different times yesterday, saying, no, that's not the one I was talking about, and that's a bad angle on the camera, and you can't tell. But he didn't give me a bro hug. He just gave me a normal hug. He gave everyone else bro hugs. He was trying to double down. He finally just admitted, you know what? I was wrong. I made it up. I lied about it. But what I find the most interesting about this story, and maybe it's just me, but everyone today, when I was listening to all the pundits and all the greenies and ESPNies and all those kind of things, they are all ripping Baker Mayfield, saying, you know what, this is what you get for being cocky and everything else. He didn't do anything wrong. He shook the guy's hand. The other guy was lying about it. Yet somehow Baker Mayfield is the one that gets in trouble, and somehow it's his fault that he shook his hand or whatever he did. I can't believe how they're still bitching about Baker Mayfield and what he's done in the past. I liked his comment where he said, at least finally for once in my life, a video came out of me that showed that I was in the right and not the wrong. Going back to when he was in college, and there was a video came out where he tried to run for the cops, and the cop tackled him better than most players did in college football. So putting back to that, I think that was funny the way he kind of made that lighthearted and everything else. But he shouldn't be the one to blame here. He's handled this very classy. It's like, hey, did he say that? Okay, well, my phone hasn't rang, but I hope that it does, and we can talk about it. Richard Sherman's the one that should be blasted for this, for lying about it, and then trying to back up his lie with more lies. So two wrongs don't make a right, and hopefully Richard Sherman gets some backlash and not just Baker Mayfield. Because the Browns are bad enough, he doesn't need that as well. Moving on to PGA News, Nick Taylor finished the Shriners Open at 14 under and tied for 29th last week. This comes off a top 10 finish 2 weeks ago at 11 under. Nick pulled out of this week's Houston Open, but is scheduled to play in the CJ Cup at Nine Bridges in Jeju Island, South Korea next week. I believe Tiger Woods is playing in that. Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas is last year's winner, I believe. Jordan Spieth won it 2 years ago. So there's a lot of big names in that one. He's been doing really, really well. He's made four of his five cuts and finished in the top 30, I think, all of those times. So Nick's doing really well early on. He needs those points. You get those points. So a week off isn't a horrible thing. He's always struggled down at the Houston Open. I think right now the leader's at 8 or 9 under in the first day, and so you have to shoot low. He shot low. He was tied for the lead, or was the lead all on his own last Thursday at 8 under. He shot 8 under in the first day, then had 2 under, 2 under, 2 under to finish the tournament. Everyone else went 8 under or 7 under, then 6-6-6, and so it ended up, I think the winner was at minus 24 and minus 23 or something like that, and Nick was at minus 14. So he didn't do terribly bad. He did struggle on the weekend to do as well as he did the first day, but a nice little break, especially with a baby coming up, kind of make some plans, get a crib ready and all those kind of things. So good luck to Nick next week. Hopefully we'll have some updates if he makes the trip over to South Korea. And finally, in NBA news, tumultuous week, I should say, in the NBA made a shift back towards normalcy and actual basketball as a game was actually played over there instead of being canceled like everyone thought it would be. Los Angeles Lakers took on the Brooklyn Nets just this morning. The Nets beat the Lakers 114-111. Wow, a defensive struggle. In the first of two exhibition games scheduled for 2019 China Games. While the basketball was familiar, there was still stark reminders of the situation that exists in China. Approximately 3.5 hours before tip-off, the NBA spokesman informed reporters there would be no media available to any team of any kind or to the commissioner, Adam Silver. Previously scheduled pregame news conference, that was also canceled. While many of the staples of a typical NBA game were displayed, such as hip-hop music, blasting, public address system, blah, 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 blah. There was no mistake. It was a little different. The crowd was handed out China flags to wave at all times. The crowd was about 16,000 people, basically. There was no national anthem. There was no Chinese anthem. They just started the game. They came in, played a little music, started the game. None of the normal stuff that you get. So you can tell that it's a communist area over there. You can tell that the Houston Rockets general manager really made a stink when he protested or stood up for the protesters over in China. China shut that down completely. You've seen on South Park, they were talking about China shutting everybody down. Marvel actually makes their movies, and a lot of Hollywood makes their movies to where it's okay in the Chinese censors, because that's where you make all your money. You don't make a lot of your money over in America. You still make enough of it. But a lot of it comes from overseas, and a lot of that is from China. And so they appeal to that or appease to them to make sure that they get their money. So interesting turnabouts over there. We'll have to see how that all plays out. Now that the games will be played, I'm sure it'll get pushed to the back burner. But it's something to look at. If China really wanted to come down on them, they spend a lot of money. Billions of dollars of Chinese money comes into the NBA. And so if that's taken away, if the NBA wants to make a stand and say, hey, we're sticking up for free speech, good for you. You should be able to stick up, and you should stick up for free speech. But are you ready for the consequences if China says, fine, we're just going to pull all of our sponsorships and our advertising and everything else? So it'll be interesting to see what comes down on that. We'll take a break and come back with a look at local sports and a big game tomorrow night again here in Bozeman, as the Hawks will take on new rival Belgrade Panthers for the first time in AA. We can catch that game right here on KGVM. Kickoff scheduled for 7 o'clock with the broadcast starting at 6:45. Bozeman Hawk football is brought to you by the Ridge Athletic Club, Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, and the Liquor Spot. Once again, thank you to all three of those sponsors, the Ridge, Spectators, and the Liquor Spot, for sponsoring Bozeman Hawk football. If it wasn't for them, we couldn't bring it to you, and it's been a real joy, me stammering through games, but it's been a lot of fun, and it's all because of them. So thank you very much to the sponsors. We'll take a quick break. Once again, this is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be fat and bald, but he knows it's sports. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
You never thought that hip-hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight because I rhyme tight.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at kgvm.org, 95.9 FM on your radio dial, or KGVM, or excuse me, 406-624-6534 on the telephones. Also reach me at Ian Laird 3 on the Twitters. A lot going on once again in the Valley. Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. With countless TVs and specials, catch all the big games, including FCS, FBS, NFL, and MLB playoffs, located in 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgating continues. Once again, lots going on from this past week in the Valley, so let's jump right into it. We'll start here in Bozeman with the golf team. Boys and girls Hawks golfers swept the AA state tournament at Metalark Country Club in Great Falls and completed a perfect season for both squads. Justice Verge won his second straight individual championship with a final score of 144, despite dealing with up to an inch of snow at times falling in the final round. Bozeman boys scored 620 points to a second straight team title, 68 strokes ahead of second-place Missoula Sentinel. That's domination right there. Hawk girls, with a score of 700, won their fourth consecutive state championship, beating Billings West by 22 strokes, as Bozeman's Cooper Knarr shot 163, tied for second among the girls. The two team titles caps the season, which both teams, like we said, boys and girls, both won 8 tournaments they competed in. So congratulations to Hawk golfers. Great win in sloppy track. It showed some pictures of it and some video online if you want to take a look and see, of them using towels and just wiping down a line to where they could putt to, which when it's snowing is allowed. So they'd wipe down the line and then putt it. It was still really, really hard to read the putts. So a good overall finish and just domination by both the boys and the girls Hawks teams. We'll have to see if that continues next year when the schools are split up. In volleyball, the Bozeman Spikers beat Billings Skyview 25-18, 25-11, and 26-24 on Saturday in Billings. Bozeman Bozeman, now 9-5 and 5-1 in Eastern AA, rallied on 15 kills from JoJo Redick, who stifled back to more than, or shifted back to her more of her natural position that she plays in, more of a striker than the middle. Molly O'Connor finished with 15 digs, while Emma Fox assisted 39 points. So congratulations to the Bozeman Hawks. This week, Hawks will travel to Sheridan, Wyoming for a contest on Saturday. It didn't have a time that it starts. My guess is if it's Saturday, it'll be around noon, maybe 1 o'clock. Over to Lady Hawks soccer. Says the Broncos scored in the first minute. Excuse me, yeah, the Broncos scored in the fifth minute, but Bozeman, 6-1-1-3 and 5-1-3. Eastern AA responded with five straight goals to pull away with a 5-1 win over Billings Senior. Ada Ekstrom finished each of the Hawks' first three goals, while Holly Lucky added a goal and an assist, and Tersbury capped off the scoring. The offensive outburst bodes well for the team, positioning itself into the upcoming stretch. They have three games in the next 7 days, so it'll be really important to see how they do with that many games in a row, but a big win there is definitely going to help. Once again, this week, Hawks will face Great Falls Schools with CMR this Friday at 4:30 and Great Falls High on Saturday, that game at noon. So, on to boys soccer. Bozeman, now 10-0 and 9-0 in Eastern AA, beat the host Broncos 1-0, a barn burner, on Saturday. The Hawks took four shots in the first half, one more than the Bronx did. In the second half, Bozeman didn't allow any shots and took four more as Senior and Cole's score made the difference, as 1-0 was the final. This week, the boys will join the girls at home with CMR Friday as well at 6:30 and Great Falls High on Saturday, that game at 10. So the boys are second tomorrow night, and they play first the next one, with the girls following and proceeding in that order. Cross country was canceled a couple weeks ago because of weather. We'll get into that tournament here in a little bit. Football, moving on to that. After securing a 2-touchdown cushion at the break, Bozeman High, 5-1, couldn't be stopped in the second half, en route to a 48-14 victory. Huge win Friday at Great Falls CMR. The Hawks extended their win streak to four games and have won 16 of their last 18 games since the start of last season. In each game so far this year, Bozeman has held its opponents to, and the Hawks have won by at least 15 points. All of that is due to Asher Croy continuing his amazing season with 95 yards on 12 carries and 3 touchdowns, but the star of the game once again, magnificent Carter Ash, with 2 interceptions, making it 7, I believe, on the year, and a punt return for a touchdown, which I believe is also caught a 65-yard touchdown pass from Jake DiAgostino. This kid is a stud. I really hope the Cats look at him. I know he's a little shorter. I don't know about his speed out there, but he is a ball hawk. Somebody definitely the Cats should look at. I'll have to talk to his dad and see if they are or not. He's also a stud on the basketball. It's going. Moving on to Belgrade football, the Panthers didn't fare as well against their Great Falls opponent. With top running back out of the game, the Panthers went to a spread offense and didn't fare too good. Briley Cage, and John Mayers, also the starting linebacker, did not play. With the duo on the bench, Belgrade finished with minus 9 yards of offense in the first half, while allowing a pair of sacks and a safety. Meanwhile, the Bison, 1-4, now 1-2 on the year, scored five of their 6 first half possessions, led by Andrew Amos. Again, we talked about it last week. He's a stud. Senior quarterback threw through 3 of his 5 touchdown passes in the first half and ran for another as Great Falls built a 37-0 lead at the break. Again, Bozeman played Great Falls a couple weeks ago, and I was really impressed with Amos. He can throw the ball well. He makes good decisions. Hawks didn't give him a lot of time, but his offensive line stood up decently well. They couldn't get a running game going, and that's really what their downfall was when they played the Hawks. So Belgrade playing them, it was interesting to see how that goes. Belgrade, again, 0-5 on the year, 0-3 in conference, returns to action next Friday, or this Friday, I should say, in another conference game at Bozeman. A huge one coming up here tomorrow night. We will get back to that game here in just a minute, and look at what Belgrade needs to do to compete with the Hawks and what they need to do to get that first win. It's going to be really, really tough for them to do, especially in Bozeman. We'll move on to ladies soccer. Having held defending state champ Billings Skyview scoreless for more than 60 minutes a week ago, the coach opted to stick with the same alignment Three-back system failed to yield the same results Saturday afternoon. Belgrade gave up three goals after 15 minutes, had ticked off the scoreboard in Belgrade's youth sports complex en route to a 3-1 Eastern AA loss to Great Falls on Senior Day. This week, Belgrade will take or will be back in action October 11th, hosting Billings West. So they'll be coming up this week facing Billings West. That should be an interesting contest for them. The boys' soccer. Panthers played the final 31 minutes of an Eastern AA match against Great Falls down a player due to a red card, eventually led to a 3-1 loss for them on Senior Parent Day as well. This week, Panthers, now 0-5, return to action hosting Billings West before traveling to Billings Senior the next day. So that's tomorrow and Saturday for the boys and the girls. Moving on to volleyball, the Panthers put together their best match of the season with a stout defensive effort to hold off Great Falls 25-23, 19-25, 25-17, 25-25, 15-9 for its first Eastern AA victory of the season for Belgrade, which also snapped a 7-match losing streak. Belgrade now 2-11 in AA and 1-6 in the conference. Never trailed in the fifth set and pulled away midway through the frame. So congratulations to Belgrade getting their first conference win. We talked about it would be a struggle when they move up to AA and how much that would affect them. And so far it seems like it's affected them a little bit. They aren't used to the speed probably and the amount of kids these other schools have to recruit from or to take from. So it's going to take a couple years. They'll get there, but they are definitely feeling their lump so far this year. Moving on to Manhattan. In football, the Tigers cruised to a victory over Columbus 40-20 in Southern B match on Friday night for homecoming victory for the Tigers. The Tigers 5-0 now, 3-0 in conference, have thrived thus far in the season, bouncing back to tally 571 yards of offense in the contest. Wow, that is a lot of offense. They started the season off with a 54-14 victory over Florence, and now they have averaged 41.8 points per contest through five games. This week, the number two Tigers will take on 2-4 Big Timber Friday night. That game is away, so it's in Big Timber. So if you're from Manhattan and you don't want to come to the Bozeman-Belgrade game tomorrow, drive over to Big Timber and take a look at what the Tigers are doing. They're putting something really, really special together. I don't see them losing until easily the playoffs, could even be the championship game. So that should be really exciting for all of them. Moving down the potato belt just a little bit, or in cross country, Manhattan Christian boys have excelled this fall and it continued Saturday at the Butte Invitational Cross Country Carnival. That's an odd name for a cross country tournament. Three-time defending state Class C champions finished fifth behind four AA programs at the Student Park with 140 points. Several runners set personal best. One of them, Ben Morrison, paved the way by placing sixth overall with a time of 16 minutes, 11.1 seconds. The senior once again broke his own record for a 5K and was among four Eagles to finish in the top 40. On the girls' side, Bozeman won the team title with 31 points, followed by Helena with 73, Flathead with 81, and Manhattan was sixth with 172. This week, Belgrade returns to action at a meet, I guess it's like next week, because all of them are canceled this week, hosted by Bozeman, while Manhattan and Manhattan Christian will compete in Townsend Invitational. That's on October 19th. Now back to the first ever Belgrade versus Bozeman AA football game. What do the Panthers need to do to stay with the Hawks? So let's take a quick look. And I think number one, please, if you're the Belgrade Panthers, don't kick it to Carter Ashe. Even if it means kicking out of bounds. If you have to kick it out of bounds and it's only a 10 or 15 yard kick, so be it. Lose field position if you have to, but do not let Carter Ashe get the ball if you're the Panthers, as he will wreck you. He has proven it time and time again all year. He is shifty. He knows how to get to elude people and get into the open fields when it comes to punt returns and kick returns. He's already got, I think, four of them. Punts ran back for a touchdown. He's got an interception ran back for a touchdown. This kid can do it on every single level of the game. So if you have to punt, and I'm guessing you will, because it's high school sports and everybody punts, just punt it out of bounds. Even if means it's a short punt, you give him a shorter field. But don't let Carter Ashe get the crowd into it and get his team pumped up by returning another punt for a touchdown. Now, his father, again, for his sake, I hope you do punt it to him so he can eat breakfast the next morning. But there you go. Number two, I think, for the Panthers is slow the game down with your run game. Now, their big running backs were out last week, so they went into an option. Hopefully, they'll be back this week to try to give them a little momentum, a little easier way to go. But The run game is easier said than done against the Hawks, too. They do very well against it, but it is very important for Belgrade to stay on the field and not stop the clock. It'll be tough if the Panthers are still missing. They're starting running backs, like we said, but I really think they need to somehow churn out first downs, even if it doesn't equate points, kind of like Cal Poly did against the Cats. Just keep the ball and keep that clock running. Don't give the Hawks any extra possessions by going three and out or fumbling it or intercepting or anything like that. You've got to be able to keep the clock running, get those first downs if you can against this Bozeman Hawk defense. And number three, stop the Hawks' run. The Hawks are built to pound the ball. Asher Croy is a great running back. He played at Huntley Project last year and moved to Bozeman, now playing AA football and ripping it up so far this year. One of the more impressive running backs I've seen of the games that I've watched so far. I haven't watched all the teams, but he's a stud. You've got to stop him. Make D'Agostino. D'Agostino can make some passes, but make him throw it. Get him uncomfortable. Stop the run and force them to try to throw the ball, because D'Agostino has a propensity to throw interceptions when he has to throw it a lot. First couple games where the Hawks played senior, and I believe it was Missoula Big Sky, there was a couple turnovers. The Hawks are known for turnovers. So stop the run, make them uncomfortable, and make them pass the ball. I think that's the only way that you're going to be able to get them out of the way. Because if they're going to run, if Asher Croy is allowed to run, this game's over. And then you open that up to, that gets them enthused. It opens up Carter Ash as a DB when you have the ball. It wears you down a little bit. It leaves the defense fresh as when they come in. So it's very important for them to stop the run, make the Hawks one-dimensional, make them try to pass the ball, hopefully get some punts your way, and try to bleed out the clock. So we'll have to see how that game. It should be a great atmosphere in the new Van Winkle Stadium. Once again, you can listen to it right here on KGVM with broadcast starting at 6:45, kickoffs at 7. Bozeman Hawk football is brought to you by the Ridge Athletic Club, Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, and the Liquor Spot. We'll take another quick break right here and come back with a look at MSU action from this past week. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534, at kgvm.org on the interwebs, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. Also reach me at IanLaird3/KGVMSports on the Twitters. This is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
They like me because I rap and be with the athletes. Stop asking me. I know they mad at me.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on the interwebs, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. Also reach me at IanLaird3 on the Twitters. Gallatin Valley Sports Show, as always, is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. With countless TVs and specials, catch all the big games, including FCS, FPS, NFL, and the MLB playoffs. Located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus, phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgating continues. So let's take a quick look at MSU news from the last week. First, in the big football news, MSU football will announce at the homecoming this weekend that funding for phase one of the remodel of the MSU athletics has hit its goal and will start construction. Man, that feels good to say. As you know, phase one is the football building located in front of the Bobcat Stadium and include meeting rooms, locker rooms, weight rooms, and football offices, to name a few things. Completion of the phase one is set for the summer of 2021, so about a year and a half for completion, but it will be done before the starting of not next season, but the season after. This is a huge news and will open up a lot of the new phases and raising money for that. It's time to start raising money for phase two and phase three. I think phase two was more of like the basketball area, and then phase three and four, I know there was some end zones being put in, and then maybe even an indoor practice facility. So good things happening. It's great to finally announce that, yes, we had Leon Costello on earlier in June. He said we were about $1.5 million away. It's good to now be like, boom, we've got it. We've got it in the bank. We're ready to start building. So congratulations to Bozeman football and MSU athletics, and thank you very much for everyone that sponsored it. It is a big thing for the school. In basketball news, a new event will give the public its first look at Montana State basketball team on Friday, October 18th. So make sure you go check that out when Bobcat Athletics, hosts Late Night at the Brick inside Worthington Arena. The event gives the public an opportunity to see members of both the men's and the women's basketball team in person before the 2019-20 season tips off. Late Night at the Brick will be a free admission and feature several different activities throughout the event. Doors open to the Brick at 5:30, and activities start with the MSU women's basketball team holding a scrimmage at 6 o'clock. The Bobcat men's program will scrimmage following the women, with on-court activities taking place in between. Activities during Late Night at the Brick include a skills competition, on-court promotions, and numerous giveaways, including four season tickets to men's and women's basketball games during the 2019-2020 season. There will be inflatables for the kiddos and games for kiddies, and the season tickets will be available to pick up if you already have purchased yours for the Bobcat fans. Along with coaching staff and players for Montana State men's and women's basketball team, Montana Spirit Squad and Champ will be participating. This is a great chance for the community to get involved a little with MSU athletics. Definitely a great first step to getting people excited, I think, about MSU basketball. The girls have been good for a long time. The boys have struggled, and this is something they've dealt with. Not a lot of crowds, not a lot of excitement over there. Danny Sprinkle coming back. We're hoping to have him on next week to talk about this event in the coming up season. But a lot of good things are going on down there, and a lot of good things are going to happen. So definitely make sure you go check that out if you have a chance. Once again, it's next Friday night. We'll talk about it again next Thursday as well. But make sure you go check it out, because that is a big, big thing for the university and for the basketball teams. Moving on to volleyball, Montana State used a strong opening set before grinding out sets 2 and 3, en route to a 25-14, 27-25, 25-17. A lot of numbers there. Win over Eastern Washington on Saturday. Volleyball, they're pretty good this year. Make sure you go check them out if you have a chance. This last game was Saturday night at Schroyer Gym. Montana State now 7-6, 3-1 in the Big Sky. Outhit Eastern, who is now 0-4 in conference play, by a 34% to 0% in the opening frame, siding out at an impressive 86%. So congratulations to them there. At 15-all in the final set, MSU had three unanswered points to get the cushion it needed before winning the match on an Eastern Washington hitting error. This week, the Cats will take on Northern Colorado tonight and Flagstaff. Match is set to serve off, I guess that's what you say, at 7:30. They will then travel to Southern Utah for a 1 o'clock game on Saturday. Moving on to golf, Montana State's Kelly Hooper and Lucia Romano each earned victories to highlight the Bobcats' final day of the Grizz Match Play Challenge at Missoula's Country Club on Saturday, October 5th. Hooper and Romano played at MSU's top two seeds in the Bobcats' head-to-head matchup against Idaho State. Hooper defeated ISU's Hadley Hirsch 1-up, and Romano topped Tyler Erickson, 1-up as well. The Bengals did earn victories in the other three matches that accounted towards the team score. The Bobcats golf team competed its fall schedule of the event of 2019-2020 season. MSU's next tournament will now take place February 22nd, so they have all winter off, when the team tees off at the Grand Canyon Invitational that is in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll take another quick break right now, the last one, and come back with take a look at MSU's contest against Cal Poly in football, as well as homecoming game this Saturday against Sacramento State. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on the interwebs, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. This is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be bad at sports, but he loves talking about them. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM. On records, got backers on backers, I'm riding
around in a cool. I take your crew right from you, you. Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Hopefully the Cats will be bad and bougie this weekend as they have a huge game against Sacramento State. We'll get into that here in a second. But first, Gallatin Valley Sports Show is always brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill with countless TVs and specials. Catch all the big games, including FCS and FBS football, NFL football, and of course the Major League Baseball playoffs that have already started. Located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Their phone number, 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgating continues. So, Cats won again this past weekend, and of course, Bobcat Nation isn't happy. The Bobcat world isn't happy with, oh, they should have scored more, and oh, we should have beaten it by more. No, no, no. A win's a win, people. I don't understand what you're going to want. That brings the record of 5-1 and 2-0 in the conference. Travis Johnson scrambled from 10 yards out to seal the win after the Mustangs missed a field goal in the first overtime possession. But it was a miss set up by two tackles for losses by Bobcat defensive tackle Derek Marks, who played an amazing game. Bobcats outgained the Mustangs in total offense 376 to 340. Tucker Rovig threw for 164 yards on 12 of 24 passing, which included an interception and the second quarter touchdown pass to Kevin Cassis. Johnson had 155 yards of total offense and two rushing touchdowns for MSU. Isaiah Ifanse made a return to the Bobcats backfield and rushed for 10 yards on 60 or rushed it 10 times for 69 yards. So it was good to see him back, Ifanse back. I forgot to turn my phone off, and so all of a sudden that was going off. So that's a huge fine for me there. Callahan O'Reilly led Montana State's defense with 16 tackles. He was followed by Michael Jobman with 13, Marks with 11, and Troy Anderson with 10. Marks had a team-high 3 tackles for loss, while Amadre Williams added 2. Jaquae Allen had an interception for MSU, and JoJo Henderson broke up 2 passes. Jaquae Allen also had a huge punt return that set up one of the scores to go ahead as well. So let's take a quick look at my thoughts from the past game, the Cal Poly game. Again, Bobcat Nation, relax. Everything's going to be okay. You can tell when everyone is watching Pluto TV at the same time, though, because it buffers a ton. That's number one of my observations. I think my brother Pat Laird put it best when he said, it's like watching a game in GIF form, or GIF, or however you say that. It's just little memes and GIFs that go on, and you see about 8 seconds, and it stops. And you see about 6 more seconds, and it stops. So I think that put it best for Pluto. They've got to get something figured out, more bandwidth, or whatever they need to do, because if Fox is going to fight, and SWX is going to fight with these people, and you can't get it on Dish or DirecTV when it's supposed to be a local channel, that's the only way to watch it, that or the Watch Big Sky app, and you have to pay for that. So they need to get that figured out if they can. Again, you complain because we used to not even be able to watch the games. You had to listen to all of them on the radio. Now they're all on TV. Now we complain about the quality, but I can at least complain about something. Number two is the triple option is the most boring offense to watch in the history of football. But when ran effectively, is almost impossible to stop. Those little dives that gain 3 yards, if you don't hit them right, your guy over aggressively trying to take out the quarterback, and he flips it to the side, and that guy's gone for 12, 13, maybe even more yards than that. If you don't pressure the quarterback, then he puts his foot in the ground and goes upfield for another 5 or 6. It's slow, just 3, 4, and 5 methodical rushing yards, but they always go for it on 4th down because they know they can get at least 2 yards. They're getting 2 yards a play, if not 3 yards a play, and so it's boring to watch, but when done well, it's really effective, and it gets frustrating for a defense. They want to make plays. They want to be able to do like they will in Sac State and blitz the quarterback and get after him and get some sacks, and you just don't have those options available to you in a triple option offense when you're playing it. And so it takes it out of you. And on top of that, the first drive of the game was 12-minute drive. At 4 yards a gain. So 12 minutes. The Cats had the ball, got a couple first downs, punted it. By the time they got it back, there was less than a minute left in the first quarter. So you get one possession a quarter at that rate of speed. Again, they got more than that. But it is tough to play in those kind of things, and it always makes it difficult for the other team. So I hate the triple option, but it is effective, and it's something that I've said in the past. If we're not going to have a quarterback that can throw it, run the triple option. It works if it's ran effectively. For all you Bobcat fans, and I quote fans because I don't think you are, Tucker did just fine, I think, in this last game. He had a couple passes that looked pretty ugly. That interception was one of them. He had a couple others that were kind of fluttery. But he also had 2 or 3 that made me think, how did he get that to the receiver? There was one in the second quarter where he threw it. It looked like he had to throw it through the guy's helmet to get to our guy. It was almost like a side little sling. How he saw him, I don't know. But it was a great pass, and it was very effective. And it was something that he came up with off of his feet, and hey, I need to get the ball out, and he did. They were pressing pretty hard on him, and he didn't have a lot of time. And so I think he didn't do too horrible in the game. I don't think his wide receivers did him any justice. There were a couple times. I think they had four or five drop passes that were right there. Sure, they were hard throws and everything. They didn't have to jump super high in the air. They just had to reach their hands up. They might have been a little high, but they were catchable. And if you're in college and you're getting a scholarship, you should be able to catch those passes. So he was let down. The receivers played very well, I think, in the game as well. Cassis had a great catch in the end zone for a touchdown, just got his foot down. So he played great. McCutchen had some great catches. Of course, Johnson did both catching and running the ball. But there were some drops as well. So you can't blame those on Roving. I wish they had a stat that shows this is what he was when the ball wasn't dropped. This is what his percentage was. But they don't. And again, when you play or when you don't play a team like Cal Poly a lot, and Cal Poly drives that ball, those 12-minute drives and everything else, you get antsy and you feel like you need to force something because they're running the ball so well. And because they're having the ball so long, you feel like you have to force something, that we got to get some points here because they could have the ball for another 12-minute drive. And I think that played into it a little bit. I think once Infante went down in the game, it really changed. When he was in there, he was running it great. The play action was there. We had some good passes. Again, some of them were dropped, but some of them were caught. When he went out of the game and we went back to Logan Jones, they sniffed that out once Logan was in there and he just wasn't be able to get through the holes or create any movement for himself. And the whole game kind of sputtered right there, and that's when they came back in the fourth quarter and tied it up and moved it into overtime. But I really think if Infante is healthy this next week, the Cats running game should be back on track. Logan Jones is a stud. Perry's a stud. We've got a ton of stud running backs. But you could tell there was just a different attitude when Infante was in there and then when he wasn't. So it'll be interesting to see if he comes back and plays. He's shown as the number one on the depth chart, but you never know. So that was last week. Put that away. Put that tape away. You don't have to look at triple options until maybe the playoffs now. It's all done. We can play normal, actual college football now. So it's homecoming week. Sacramento Standard enters at 1-0 in the Big Sky and with a win in a dismantling and they dismantled defending national runner-up Eastern Washington. The Hornets are 3-2 overall, but the losses are to Arizona State and Fresno State. Those are the only two losses. Sacramento State is one pole point from the FCS top 25, checking in at number 26. So again, probably one of the better teams the Cats have faced. Montana State is number 6 in the Stats FCS poll and number 7 in the AFCS FCS coaches poll. Whew. Sac State is led by in rushing by Dotson. Elijah Dotson with 46 carries, 198 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Kevin Thomas, their quarterback, is 2nd with 37 rushes for 172 yards and 3 touchdowns. And then Marcus Fulcher is 22 rushes for 118 yards and 3 touchdowns. So they have 3 runners that are over 100 yards on the season. Nothing too eye-popping with any of those stats. They are a good running team. But the passing is the big one. Kevin Thompson is 125 for 196, 3 touchdowns, or excuse me, 3 interceptions, 16 touchdowns on the year, and almost 1,500 yards passing. He is dual threat if there is dual threat, is this guy. So you've got to be able to figure that out. Their leading receiver is also the leading rusher, Dotson, with 33 catches for 361 yards and 3 touchdowns, so they like to dump it outside. Williamson has 24 catches for 409 yards and 3 touchdowns, and Isaiah Gamble has 239 yards on 17 catches and 2 touchdowns. So they are very prolific in the offense. They're number 1 in defense in the Big Sky, and they're number 2 behind Montana in offense in the Big Sky. So this is, as Choate said, the best team we're going to face this year. So what do the Cats have to do to win this Saturday? Number 1, I think, pressure the quarterback. They need to make Thompson move out of the pocket and get him before he can make his second read. Force him to throw it early and often, and you should be in good shape if you do that. Number 2, step up in the secondary. They've got to find a way to stop these passes in the secondary. They struggled against Cal Poly, and they're not even a passing team. Filer is listed as being he's been out all year. He's a preseason all Big Sky player. He's listed to be coming back in this game, so that should be huge. But the Cats need to stick to their receivers and not let anyone get past them. The other thing the Cats have done is if the quarterback has any amount of time, he'll pick you apart, and especially this one. Cats front four is awesome. We'll get to that here in a second. But the secondary needs to step up in this game. Filer back would be great. I think they're going to rely a lot on Allen for deep coverage and everything else. That should be huge, but they need to do that. Number three, get the running game going early and often. Cats are known to wear teams down by the fourth quarter and dominating the line of offense. They need to do the same in this game. And the fourth thing, rely on Rovig. Unlike a lot of the Bobcat Nation, I feel really good about him right now. I think he is going to step up in this game and blossom and be huge in this game. So, those are keys to victory for the Cats. With all that said and done, my prediction for the week, my heart says the Cats will go up an early touchdown or two and then run away with it towards the end of the game, kind of like an AU game, even though we went down in that one, and we'll win 38-21. My head says that it will be closer than my stupid fat heart thinks it will, and the Cats' D-line shuts down Stack in the fourth quarter. 28-21 victory. So hopefully that will be the case. That'll do it for the show today. Once again, you can catch us in our first ever Belgrade versus Bozeman AA football game, KGVM, tomorrow night at 6:45 with kickoff scheduled at 7 o'clock. Thanks for listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM. And as always, go Cats!